tonight. Thank you, because tonight we become better again in the things of God. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated, everybody. You know, you must remember, you must realize that when you pray, God answers. God answers. So, what we say together this evening is that we get better this evening. So, expect service to make you better. Amen. Expect the service to always make you better. Don't expect to be the same after a service. When you pray, like, thank God for the two ladies that led us in prayer. Expect an expression of the things you have prayed about. Expect an expression of the things that you have prayed about. Expect an expression of them. Eh? Expect an expression of the things you have prayed about. Expect an expression of love. Make sure you cooperate with your prayer points. Just like a man praying for revival, and he himself is not involved in discipleship, in evangelism, that man is walking against his prayer points. Amen. So, let me start quickly today. Please, I beg you, do your best to be in church tomorrow. That's just something I want to beg you for. Do your best to be in church tomorrow. Just do your best. Do your best. And if for any very serious reason you couldn't make it, please follow us on live stream. So I call it contributing to the flow of the Holy Ghost in your church. Contributing to the flow of the Holy Ghost in your church. Contributing to the flow of the Holy Ghost in your church. Contributing, I mean, like participating, like your part. Amen, amen. So, please help me to welcome Izad. Izad, you are welcome. Where is she? Yeah, you are welcome. You are welcome. Yeah. Those are men we sent out just without anything, just go and help the startup of a place, and we were faithful and came back with awesome news. Trust God for the progress of your word in that area. Amen. Of his word. Amen. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Mm-hmm. One thing you must know about the church is that yes, we have seen it together that God will become a man, like God will come on earth, and it was prophesied by men. God will redeem man. He had to be a man. God will share the good news that will save the whole world. It was shared by men. So men are key in the plan of God. Say men are key in the plan of God. So the point is that, the truth is that even if you don't like the men around you today, well, it will still be men that will still eventually, that you still have to serve God with. So you cannot really do without men. See, men are key in the plan of God. So, you can't just, for instance, your progress in Christianity must be measured. Just write that down. My progress in this faith, it must be measured. It must be measured. Your progress in this faith, it must be measured. It must, and who else will measure it? Not angels, it will be men. It will be men. The only one men cannot do is that men cannot reward you. It's God that can reward. But if you look at your Christian life, you will see that over time, God has brought some people into your life to some segments, some days, some weeks, some years, just to take you from a particular level to another level. So it's just men. Men are always involved. Say men are always involved. Thank you. So men are just always involved in your growth, in your spiritual growth. Men are involved. So if you say, I just want to serve God, don't worry, God is only God knows I'm serving him. No. Some men must know that You are serving God. Let me say it this way. You must open up your life for some men to assess you. Just write that down. You must open up your life for some men to assess you, to assess your spiritual growth, to assess if you are doing better. The only thing we did differently in this place is that we just assess everybody, and we ensured strict accountability. Strict accountability. And that's what we did in this place. It's just to ensure everybody's assess and strict accountability. It's not because we are doing something that somebody else cannot do, or it's not that we know one deep word that somebody else do not know. But we just ensure we follow up everyone that, Paul told Timothy, the things you have heard of me, commit the same to faithful men who will be able to teach others. That means, be deliberate about this. It's like, do it deliberately. So, learn to open up your life for people to, not people, I'm not saying everybody on the street, that would be dangerous, but some men must be able to assess you. And who else could that be except people who are seeing you every day? That's just wisdom. That is just wisdom devoid of hypocrisy. Who else could it be except those who are seeing you every day, those you gather with every day, those you pray together, those you preach together, those you heal the sick together, those you do ministry together. So that thing that all these things that we are, like as we saw Matthew 28, that go into all the world, preach the gospel of every creation, we must see your part in that. We must be able to ask the broad youth, what is your part in Matthew 28? What role have you played in the last 2 years in Matthew 28? You must see your part in it. Your part must be clear. It must be distinct. So it's because, like that thing of, don't assume you are growing. Let somebody tell you are growing. Don't rate yourself. Let somebody rate you. Don't rate yourself. Don't just assume I'm getting better. Don't just assume I am growing. Don't just assume I'm doing what I ought to do. No. Open up your life for some men that God has placed to close to you to assess you, to help you get better. Praise God. Say, open up. Don't close down. No. It's a must. So 2 Timothy 3:15. I'm saying now, contributing to the flow of the Holy Ghost in your local church, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. See that word? Say from a child. And when Paul, 2 Timothy 3:15, when Paul was talking to Timothy, very clear, we know that the epistles are not yet written then. So what Paul referred to as Holy Scripture would be what? Genesis to Malachi, right? Very clear. So that means, he was saying that Genesis to Malachi is able, look at the Bible, please, don't look at me. Genesis to Malachi is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. That's serious. That means what is written, the intention of Genesis to Malachi must not be different from the intention of the epistles. That means everything in the epistles stand for is what the Old Testament stands for. Please write that down especially. Everything the epistle stands for is the same thing the Old Testament stands for. I'm not saying anything the epistle stands for can be proved from the Old Testament. No, don't use that word. Don't use the word like it can be proved also from the Old Testament. That is a bit tricky. Don't say it can be proved. Say that is the same thing it stands for. Because when we are saying prove that, I can prove that this is a fair lady. That means you are striving to show something. So I would not really love to say that we can prove salvation through faith in Christ from the Old Testament, but I will simply say it is the same thing it stands for. Or I can say it this way, that it cannot be proved from the entire scriptures that God is evil. Write that down and learn to meditate on that. It cannot be proved. That means you cannot pick the entire Matthew to Genesis to Malachi and you read honestly and you conclude that God does not want to save, and you conclude that God is evil. Because as you read, you will see all the players involved in the evils that occur on earth, and you will see clearly God's plan to save. So like Pastor Nika will say the Old Testament and the epistles, they either both rise together or they fall together. That both the Old Testament and the epistles, they either rise together or they fall together. That means if one is wrong, both are wrong. If one is wrong, both are wrong. Because the epistles itself, it relies upon that prophecy of the Old Testament for correctness. The epistle itself, sorry, I know I'm fast, write down the one you can remember and make up after service. So the epistle itself relies upon the prophecy of the Old Testament for correctness. For example, quickly go to Acts chapter 13. Let me show you something here. Sorry, Acts 15. So yeah, just you should know the story. Let's just read from verse 5. Acts 15, verse 5. This is just when they are saying the Jews, the Gentiles does not ought not to be saved, things like that. But there rose up certain of the sects of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And there was much disputing, and Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, and he kept speaking. And I'm really going to what James said. So verse 15, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved even as they. So they kept silence, and Paul and Barnabas were declaring unto them the miracles. Let's read from 13. Want to go? Let's read. And after they had heard their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me, Simon has declared how God at the first did visit Gentiles to take out a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will raise it up. Next verse, that the residue of men may seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord who dwelleth all these things. So you see that despite the supernatural that Paul and Barnabas declared, despite the vision of Peter, which happened in Acts 10, he now said to this agree. See, it's not, don't see it like their vision, the prophecies agree with their vision. No, it's their visions that what agreed with the prophecy. Are you with me? It's their visions, Peter's vision and the miraculous via Paul and Barnabas that agreed with what was already written. That means you cannot use prophecy, you cannot use visions to invalidate the truth of the scriptures. You can only validate your own experiences from what is written. Sorry, just try and understand that. Verse 16 now of 2 Timothy 3. I'm just trying to say that that's one thing I've loved from Pastor Joel's teaching. You see that she will show you everything both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, by all those breaking divided words, which I believe she will start again soon. So she will see her like both texts. From both texts. So let's read verse 16 to 17. I'll go back to 2 Timothy 3. Well done. Happy writing. They both rise together or they fall together. We don't take them disjointedly. We don't say the God of the Old Testament is wicked, but that of the epistle is gentle. No. Because the epistle himself derives strength from what? The same Old Testament. Exactly, brethren. Thank you. So verse 16 and 17, and all scripture is given, 2 Timothy 3:16, by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So to me, so who is the man of God? That's the question. Who is the man of God? Well, I would say a man conscious of the purpose and plan of God. A man of God is anyone that is conscious of the purpose and the plan of God. A man that is conscious of the purpose and the plan of God. That's a man of God. If you are conscious of the purpose and plan of God, you are a man of God. A man that is of God. Conscious of the purpose and plan of God. So, clearly, and he said, so that the man of God may be perfect. And he said all scriptures. That's the point. He said all scriptures. He said, so that the man of God may be perfect. The man of God must have meditated through all scriptures so that he can be perfect. So that he can be perfect. Right? It's perfect there. Is that, wasn't that Greek word? Meaning that he can be ready for ministry. So effectiveness in the ministry will be a function of teaching. So then also, hope you remember what we studied about typology in our study series. Typology means like the different scenarios in the Old Testament that are used to teach a greater truth. The different scenarios, like Melchizedek right now, his life and everything around him was used to teach the priesthood of who? Jesus. Esau and Jacob was used to teach the principle of election, right? And who else? The miraculous birth of Isaac was used to teach what? The incarnation, right? And that determined, Genesis 22 on Mount Moriah was used to also teach the resurrection. You will see that Joseph being the prime minister in Egypt, that was used to teach Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Are you with me? Hello, are you with me? You have to, please, then start revising our Jesus. So, see Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. So let's use, if you look at, there are some words in the Bible that deserves to be studied. Egypt, for instance, you will see that almost everywhere Egypt was spoken against. Egypt. It was spoken against. It was used to teach something big. Let me show you a few of them. Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. Well done. I'm just saying the typologies in the Bible. Deuteronomy 6:12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So he called Egypt the house of bondage. See chapter 7, verse 8. From the house of bondage. 7 verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, and the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So, well, I will get back to this. So clearly, we can see Egypt as a typology of the kingdom of darkness. Let's write that down. As a type of the kingdom of darkness that we are delivered from. We can see Egypt as a type of the kingdom. A type. Please write a type. Don't say Egypt, the kingdom of darkness. So please, there can be somebody in Egypt may be hearing us today on live stream. So Egypt on the Bible days, okay? Please also write in the Bible days. Was used as a type of the kingdom of darkness. A depiction of the kingdom of darkness. So this is my question. What do you think, what took them to Egypt? That's what we studied. What took the children of Israel to Egypt? Let's first check Abraham's story. Genesis 12, verse 7. We saw a trend that occurred between Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. See, Genesis 12, verse 7. I'm sorry, I'm fast. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and I on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called the name of the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still towards the south. Don't forget that. Let's read verse 10. Want to go? Yes, sir. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for famine was grievous in the land. See chapter 13, verse 1. So what took Abraham to Egypt? Famine, right? Famine? Hunger, right? You can say hunger, famine. 13, verse 1. And Abraham went up out of what? What happened? So what do you think happened in chapter 12? That was when they wanted to take his wife, and at the end of the day, God told him, leave that place. I didn't send you there. 13 verse 1. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all he had, and Lot with him, into the south. If you remember in chapter 12 verse 9, he was trying to go towards the south before, that is south of Canaan, but in chapter 13 verse 1, so later, but when there was famine, he went to Egypt. So, but 13 verse 1, he now went back to where? That same south. Thank you. So, see, just keep that somewhere in your mind. Let's see Isaac, Genesis 26 verse 1. I know you love Ephesians and you love Colossians. Let's see the same thing from the Old Testament too. Okay, Genesis 26 verse 1. And there was a famine in the land besides the famine that was in the days of Abraham. You can see beside. That means different, separate. Okay, and Isaac, 26 verse 1, went unto Abimelech, king of Philistines, unto Gerar, verse 2, Let's read verse 2 together. Please, want to go? Yes. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto thy father Abraham. So, clearly, Isaac was told not to go to Egypt. If you observe the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you see that Isaac was the one that asked less issues. Less issues. He didn't, like, his life, his own, his life was just, like, he just did what he was doing. It was his children that had issues with take blessing. But Abraham, plenty well. Isaac, that's less. Now, let's see Jacob. That's where I'm going. 42 verse 1. Genesis 42 verse 1. And when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt. See, oh, please focus on this, okay? Because there are two parts of this story. He saw that there was corn in Egypt. So Jacob said unto his son, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is what? Corn in Egypt. So why did he send it to Egypt? Because there is corn in Egypt. Not because God said, no, because there is corn in Egypt. So because of hunger, get you down either and buy for us for theirs, and that we may live and not die. Are you with me? So he was broke and there was famine in the land. That means you were broke or not really broke, but there's no food anyway. Even if you have money, there's no food. So, and he sent men to Egypt to buy. Was it required that he prayed? No. Was it required that he prayed? Our famous prosperity scripture. What happened when there was famine in the days of Isaac? What happened? Isaac what? Sowed in the land, right? Your God told him that don't live there, stay there. So, and the Bible says Isaac sowed in the land and he reaped what? An hundredfold, and that scripture has caused issues today in the body of Christ. Amen. So, now, see 46 verse 3. It didn't end there. But there is now a part to this story which I want you to pay attention to. 46 verse 3. Clearly, we have seen that initially when he started sending people to Egypt, it was not God that told him. But 46 verse 3, let's see. And he said, I am the God of thy father. Fear not. Now, see this also. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Circle that in your mind. I'll come back there. I will go down with thee into Egypt. And I will also what? Surely bring thee up again. Circle that. Okay, I will take you there, but what will I also do? And Joseph shall put his hand upon what? So, from your mind, why do you think God wants him to go to Egypt? Write it down, for reconciliation. Not for hunger. God told Jacob to go to Egypt for the sake of reconciliation. Jacob wanted to go to Egypt for the sake of what? Hunger, clear, written. But God told him to go, you can go. For the sake of what? Reconciliation. Don't forget that. Verse 6 now said, and they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt. And Jacob and all his seed went with him. His son and his son's sons and his son's daughters and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. So, despite the famine, don't forget, despite the famine in the days of Isaac and Abraham, God told them, don't go to Egypt. And he sustained them. So, is it possible for God to sustain Jacob without him going to Egypt? Yes, right? Clearly, yes. So, hope you wrote that down. In that past, in that story, there are two parts. Jacob said, I am hungry. God said, hey, your Joseph is here. Go and what? Reconcile. Because, write this down, because in Christology, none of the 12 tribes must actually be missing. Just write that down somewhere in your footnote. None of the 12 tribes must be missing. It will affect their prophecy. Like, oh God. You know, they built their whole family on the prophecy of the coming Christ. Are you with me? So, are you with me? Come on. If you remember, even till the book of Revelation, it was speaking about what? The 12 tribes, 12 tribes. So if Jacob had died, so if Joseph has died, or if they could not account for Joseph, They didn't know where he had been. Then, a lot of things that was written in Revelation, you're not able to see 12 tribes. You will see 11. You say, although he had 12, but one was missing. And some people can use that one to preach eternal what? Insecurity. Are you getting me? So I know I'm fast, but are you trying to get me? So the 12 tribes must be what? Complete. In fact, even when the disciples of Jesus, one of them left, you know what Jesus said? He said, well, God, everyone you gave me, I have kept all low, except the... So that the scripture... So Jesus was like, I beg you, this one, it's not my fault. Something like that. Okay, but see chapter 49, verse 29. Chapter 49, verse 29. Well done, well done. I'm sorry, we're not done with the... Oh, we need to fix more things. 49:29. He charged them and said unto them, I am to be... Please, focus on that. Are you there? Thank you. I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my... Where? With my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim the Hittite. He was telling them to take me back to Canaan. So why will he give commandments that they should take him off here after his death? Is to remind them that you are never to tarry here. You are never to tarry here. You are never to tarry here. This is not a promise. Somebody will say, but what God said, it came to pass and they multiplied. Guess what? Of everyone that was born in Egypt, millions of them, how many of the ones born in Egypt entered the promised land at the end of the day? How many? Two. That's a lot. So at the end of the day, tarrying in, if you say, okay, in Egypt they multiplied, they had favor, they had this. Well, that was one of the things that actually delayed the coming of Jesus. I will get to that later when we start doing all the extra and the Maya story of Christ in our Jesus. So you will see that actually that was actually one of the things that delayed the coming of the Savior. If you, oh God, and I've gone to that with the prophecy, the foreknowledge that Abraham saw in Genesis 15. But let me streamline this teaching to where I'm going. So in Egypt, what do you think happened? Although they multiplied, but in Egypt, write this down, they have unlearned the knowledge of God. Imagine Moses asking God, when I get to this children of Israel, and I say, God is sending me to you, and they ask me which God. He said, what should I tell them? That means the children of Israel, they have lost the knowledge of God. Sorry, I say in Egypt, they have unlearn the knowledge of God. Although they are multiplying, they are Hebrews. They are saying, yes, they are giving back Hebrew children. Some of you are saying, claiming Hebrew what? Hebrew women. So, but in Egypt, they unlearn the knowledge of God. Not only that, in Egypt, what is that right here? In Egypt, they have learned the ways of the flesh. The ways of the flesh. They learned how not to trust God. All in the name of hunger. Hunger. What should Jacob have done? Go to Egypt, reconcile, come back. In fact, anyway, and you know, he told them to go back after his death, and he didn't go back himself. Are you with me? Say, okay, guys, okay, carry my bones back. Why didn't you lead them back? Colossians 1 and verse 12. So, of course, you know that God eventually did turn all the situation around, right? Well, guess what? There's a cost attached to disobedience, which had to be paid. Not from God, but a result of man's choice. There's a cost always attached to disobedience, to man's disobedience. Although God did turn the situation around to good, but there's always a cause attached to man's disobedience. So Colossians 1 verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered. Now, when he will be writing this letter to the Colossian church, There was no book called Ephesians then. There is no proper New Testament manuscripts. So when they hear the word deliver, what will go to their mind? Deliverance from Egypt. Because that is one of the major deliverance stories in the Bible. Are you with me? Are you with me? That means, okay, right now you are standing like a man that is a first century believer. That means a man that's like in the days of Paul. If you are such a man, you will not have Matthew to Revelation. You only have Genesis to Malachi. So when you hear deliver, what will come to your mind? Egypt. When you hear sanctify, what will come to your mind? Leviticus. The priest. All those atonements. When you hear, who can give me more? When you hear something like redemption, thank you, circumcision, clear. Redemption, clearly you think of what? Egypt again. Thank you. So, Colossians 1:13 now says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So, those traits, the traits of those things that happened in Egypt are further explanation of darkness. I will explain, I'm coming. The traits of those things, like, write it this way, those things that happened in Egypt are further explanation of darkness. Of darkness. He said he had delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. So, let me ask you this question. So, how many times have we converted, write this down, just like a rhetorical question. How many times have we converted, go to Egypt for a while, to stay in Egypt forever? Write that down, please. How many times have we converted, go to Egypt for a while, to stay in Egypt forever? Again, let me ask you this question. Before you see Egypt as a place where they are just sinning, why did they go to Egypt? Why? Because of what? Hunger. So to eat and to be well fed, is that bad? Huh? So did they go to Egypt to commit evil? But to tarry long there, what do you think will happen? They forgot the purpose and promise of God. So I now say, write in your note, how many times have we converted, go to Egypt for a while, to stay in Egypt forever in our Christian world? Now, in your decision making, there may be a period of time that you are just super caged from service, but it cannot be forever. There may be a period of time, for instance, if you are doing Let me use the normal stuff. If you are in your BSc and you have commitments in school, everything, you will have some very tough time to meet up with some Christian duties. Understandable. But what happened to the man that after 2 BSc's, say, okay, it's not enough. I need the third one. Okay. After the third one, I need a PhD. After the PhD, I need what? 2 extra MSc, then after that, I want to. Something is getting awful. Are you with me? Acts 26. And like I told you, maybe that is cost of discipleship. Rather than get convenient in such situations, plan your freedom. Plan your freedom. Plan your freedom. Plan it. You cannot stay in Egypt forever. Don't see Egypt as something sinful. I'm not talking about sinful lifestyle. See Egypt. So in our context today, now, how can we define Egypt? Somebody from the right, please help me. Yeah, please. Yes, sir. Lawful things of life. Yes, sir. Egypt alone. You have interpreted the whole thing. Yes. Somebody else. Yes. Nobody else. Okay. Central. Yes, sir. Speak out, sir. Choir.
Sorry, how do you say your own again? Lawful things of life. I didn't want to use a sharp word like career. It's some, yes? Sir? A means to an end. Awesome. Comfort zone. Yes. Okay, something from center, please. Center, please. Give me more. You are there now? You are dead. You have said it. Okay. Training, membership training by my special people. You'll be answering every question. I hope you know. It's part of your scores. I'll be screwed. Praise God. But did you understand me, sirs? That means, please, like, if it's something sinful, then that is no any day. But good things that is needed at a time. Good things that is needed at a time. Don't be caged by them forever. Like, caged by them. There are some good things that may be needed at a time for in a year, in 2 years, but I must plan not to be caged by them forever. So I'm saying, thank you for understanding that. Sorry, I don't always, this is a church, I can have an idea and you help me to elaborate it more. Very simple. That's why we ask questions. So that I teach you this, what I'm trying to say, help me to put it better so that somebody else can understand. So please, when I ask questions, please just feel free to answer out of a free heart. Okay, Acts 26 verse 18 now. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Again, what did I say that happened when Moses got to Egypt? To Egypt, even the children of Israel, they could not really, like, they are too dumb. Why they could not survive the wilderness was because of the experience of that 400 years. 400 years of, I am not trusting God. 400 years of, everything is okay. You know, they go to the wilderness and say, but we eat onion and cucumber. Now you cucumber. Tasteless. If it's pineapple, it's better. Are you with me, brethren? So now, and we have seen that Egypt is a form of, like, we can use it as a kingdom of darkness. So when you say kingdom of darkness, it's not only see the men that are smoking with ganja. A man that is posting, sharing Christocentric message on Facebook every day may be in the kingdom of darkness. If, for instance, okay, Ojut, if, for instance, now, if God called me to start this, then when me and you are still doing our normal, up and down, and we didn't start this, and I'm still doing my, we are still doing our, yes, nothing, no shaking, Christ forever, everything forever. No, we are in the kingdom of darkness. Because then, by then, you know, you would have gotten me, I would have gotten extra BSc, extra everything, you would have gotten PhD. I'm not saying PhD is stronger, please don't get that wrong. Okay, I'm just saying, if a man may be in church, but compared to what you ought to be doing, compared to, because in sincerity, even when they now start beating them, when the tide now turn in Egypt, that is when even children of Israel, they still remember that, okay, there's a God that our father used to cry to, and they still cry to the God, save us, our God, God of Abraham, save us. They still remember small, but the real covenant, forgotten. Amen. So, okay, let's be fast now. And to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me. So darkness there will mean what? Darkness there, I will give you this first one, you will tell me the other ones. So darkness there will be a deficiency of the knowledge of forgiveness of sin. A deficiency of the knowledge of forgiveness of sin. When you are deficient in that knowledge, when you don't know that your sins are forgiven, that means a mindset of guilt, condemnation. A mindset of guilt and condemnation. See, I've been delivered from a kingdom of self-condemnation. Yeah. You see John 5:24, still on that. John 5:24. I'm sorry, I have to lay these foundations very clearly.
before we get to the topic. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is past tense, right? That means it's already done. Is passed from death unto life. Say, it's already done. Hallelujah. See, I passed from death to life. Or some people in Romans 13 verse 12, you see darkness here. Let's see what it means here again. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now you will see the works of darkness right now from this verse. Let's read 13 and 14 together. I want to go. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, in drunkenness, chambering, and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the laws thereof. See that verse 13. These are the things that Sister Grace used to pray. That word rioting in the Greek, that just means something like a Luther spirit, rioting. You know, when you are revolting, that is revolting, like revolting the church, revolting. Just like some of us, we are human rights activists in school. So we think we can carry it to church. Great effect. Hallelujah. Praise God. After you go, for 4 years, course. A Luther make you spend 7 years, you know. So woman rights activism, and you see, and that's actually that activism in church. You just say that. So I mean, now what you also achieved in 1 year, 3 years, we are still begging, happy, write your note. But because Bumi will tell her, don't worry, nothing will happen. Don't write it. What will happen? 3 years, we are still on the spot. Praise God, activism. Revolting. So that is rioting there. Next word there, you see shambaring, tangerine, something like that. Okay. Is it cambaring or shamba? Shambaring. That's you're about to pronounce this thing. Okay, of course, that means, I'm funny enough, see this one though. It actually means, it means cohabitation, whether lawful or unlawful. Cohabitation, whether lawful or unlawful. That means whether it's a lawful marriage or the unlawful bear and boo that is used to disdain God's work. Do you understand that? I mean, that shambling there is not actually bad. But when it is used to what? Disdain God's work. Because in the Greek, when I check, they say whether it's lawful or unlawful. Like even the lawful one, you can use the lawful one to say that this is the reason why I don't have time for God again. It's yet a work of the flesh. Next one is wantonness, which talks about unbridled lust. Unbridled lust. Say, I've got self-control. Say, I've got self-control. The next one is strife. The Greek word down is iris, E-R-I-S, strife, which means contention, wrangling. I mean wrangling, just wrangling on this one. Wrangling, contention. Next one is envying. Envying is zealous. Z-E-L-O-S. Sorry, I'm fast. Let's write this down. Z-E-L-O-S means rivalry, jealousy. Rivalry, jealousy. Trust me, brethren, these things, they kill the move of the spirit more than Satan. Rivalry, jealousy. I think I'm the one that Brad Stevens supposed to toast. Am I not more fine than hope you know you can sit down on a spot and you just see few things and you form a big story. Big story. It's like that guy in the film Dead in a Week, All Your Money Back. You can stay on the place and you formulate stories. I know. This is the reason why this you are imagining things that never happened before you. Out of jealousy, strife. No, these things, they kill the move of the spirit. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6.
So you must know where and what you are delivered from. That's what I'm saying. You must know where and what you are delivered from. You have been delivered from these things. You are not a man in priority error. You are not a man that uses even good things to disdain God's work. Are you with me? See 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. For God, who had commanded light to shine out of darkness, had shined where? In our hearts. Where has it shined? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So darkness there will be ignorance, right? Ignorance. Let's see Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. The first chapter 5 verse 8. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Hallelujah. See chapter 5 verse 11. Ephesians 5 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 4. Chapter 5 verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 4. And you brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. I just speak to you. This is not the only places that darkness is used in the Bible. That also means ignorance. Chapter 5 verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5. You are all the children of light. Hallelujah. And the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Are you with me? Say, I'm not a shadow of darkness. Okay, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness. Hallelujah. See, I have been called out of darkness and all it represents into the kingdom of his of his marvelous life. 1 John 2 verse 9. I will show you an example of that now in this place. 1 John 2 verse 9. He that seeth is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until... Come on, read that place again. 1 John 2, 9. 1, 2, go help me. Yes, sir. He that seeth is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until... That means he's in darkness in his conduct, okay? He's not saying, you know, some believers can see play funny, but in his conduct, he's in darkness. But you have been called out of it. Amen, amen. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hated, 11, his brother is in darkness. That is, he walks in what? Walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness at what? Blinded his eyes. Say, hatred is a no-no for me. Don't forget the topic, contributing to the flow of the Holy Ghost in your church. Hatred is a no-no for me. Okay, I write unto you, verse 12, little children, because your sins has forgiven you for his name's sake. Amen, amen. So your mindset should be that of a man ransomed from the kingdom of darkness, from a kingdom of self, a kingdom of lust, a kingdom of my will, a kingdom of my way, unto a kingdom of love, unto a kingdom of togetherness. From a kingdom of self, lust, my will, my way, unto a kingdom of love, unto a kingdom of togetherness. Anything that takes you away from your place of ministry can never be God's will for your life. Anything that takes you away from your place of ministry can never. Egypt was supposed to be for a while. Egypt was supposed to be for a while, not forever. Are you with me, brethren? So, when life issues shows up, when life issue throws you somewhere, you fight back. That's the point. You fight back. People do that for their marriage. People fight back for their marriage. I've seen footballers that resign because they say they want to focus on their family. And the family is one wife and one baby. That's the family that you resign. How much weekly? How much pounds weekly? say you are resigning that because you want to stay with one girl. If it's Solomon that has 1,000, I will understand. But one wife and one boo-boo. Praise God. Are you with me? Say, I'm important to the flow of the Holy Ghost in my church. Say, I am important. Come on. So this is what I'm saying. When life change told you, you must fight. Fight back does not mean that immediately I say I'm not doing it again. No, fight back means I plan my way back. I plan it. It must be active. I plan my way back. Say, I plan my way back. See, that is why I was about to make a post today that the first assembly, well, that we operate as both a family and a school. None is superior. We hide the two seriously. That we run as both a family and a school, and none of the two is what is superior. There is no because if you run as a family, no, hope you know Kegites. Hope you know they have a family, right? Kegites. Would you give us one of your songs? Have you heard some people say that the best friends are people that drink, that if you are with your friends, nothing. It's like a basket man that he could not buy back for his babe. He now went to pick. I can't keep myself. You know, okay, this is that short thing. So the church. So if they say they are having family, how much more us? So, but what I'm now saying is that why? What is the difference about the family? This family, the knowledge, the school part. That is what now makes this family unique. Praise God. Say the first assembly. We are a family and we are a school. None is superior, none is inferior. That means none of the two is superior to the other. If you remove any, so people are saying that yes, we are a family church. You are trying to prove rebellion. You are trying to prove it. Say the two. It's a family and it's a school. Okay, thank you. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 15:3. You must be present. You must be around. See this 15:3. I just want to show you something here. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Let's read verse 5. Yes. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Verse 6. Yes. After that, he was seen of above what? 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are what? Falling asleep. Now, but in Acts 1 verse 5, open there, rush there. In Acts 1 verse 5, check, be fast. Let's read. Acts 1:15. Once, let's read, yes. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names were about what? So how many at least do you think Jesus told to tarry? Minimum of what? 500. Minimum of what? 500. But how many were around that day? 120. Why? And see Acts 2 verse 1. Let's see if the Holy Ghost went to meet those ones in their house. Acts 2 verse 1. What is there? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Where? In how many places? Different houses. Say there is something about one place. These are things that we cannot do anything about. Oh. This is something we have seen in the Bible repeated over and over again. When I was singing the Passover, I explained that clearly in there, that Passover feast, every Israel, wherever you are, you must come back. If you don't come back, you'll be cut off. You must. And that's one of the things that the Muslims are still trying to do. Like, in their Ilaya thing, you will give them leave. If you don't give them leave, they can go. They will just go. Praise God. So, and let's see verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the, is it different houses? all the houses where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them clothing tongues like as of fire, and he sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, what? 120. But I believe, guess what? This, we have more than 120 believers on us this day. Who is a believer? Someone that has what? Believed that Jesus died and rose again. And upon resurrection, we saw that he spoke to over 500 brethren. So, I can say, we are people who were born again on the streets. But how many spoke in tongues? 120. Say, there's something about one place. Now, most of us, you expect, if you have noticed, what I've done in the Edify Assembly is to make Christianity simple for you. I do my best to just make it simple. This is it. Write this down. Regular attendance to church is Christianity. Or regular church attendance is Christianity. Write that down. Regular church attendance is Christianity. This is not what I just learned from when I understood the accurate knowledge of forgiveness of sin. Ask Brash, he there. That's him there. Ask him if anybody could have a record of when I missed a midweek service. And then, I mean, for years. I had a record of 3 years in the place. I didn't miss one midweek. That is Christianity. The day I spoke in tongues for, it was a meeting, not a Holy Ghost meeting, just a meeting. Are you with me? Say regular church attendance is Christianity. That is simple. Christianity is not your house. It's not your house. It's not. I say it's not your house. Sorry, that's serious. I mean, it's not your house. See Psalm 133. So when, like I said, when things like work, work on the excuses that are within your power, rather than work on the excuses that are within your power. Plan to free yourself. Plan to free yourself for the body you belong to. Plan it. It may not happen that day, but you must have an active plan. The same day Jacob got to Egypt, he should have had an active plan, not a prophecy. Your prophecy, somebody else must act on it, Abby. He should have had an active plan to go back to Canaan. There's something about being present in meetings that audio recording cannot do. Sorry, I think Psalm 133, right? Verse 1. Let's read this together. Want to go, yes, us. Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2, it is precious ointment upon the head that run down upon the bears, Aaron's bears, that went down to the skirts of his garment as the dew of Ammon and as the... So for deer. Where? Deer. Say deer. Circle that deer in your Bible. Read, see that verse 3. As the dew of Ammon and as the dew that descend upon the mountain of Zion for deer. Say deer. Say in that place. So that's the point. For deer. The Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Praise God. I'll continue on this tomorrow. Seek the gathering. Don't be a special... I'll just give you some instructions. I'll just write down as much as I can. Don't be a special meeting believer. It's intentional that Edifice that we don't do so much special programs. It's so intentional. We could have started annual convention. You know, this year, we have now, as genders, there is no convention. Forget it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen this year. All I'm going to have is the same workers' retreat. Just workers come together, we pray, we fast, and you go back. Because I must not hype a special meeting more than church attendance. Singing is finished work is coming next month. Okay, finally announced. I didn't want to tell them before. The date is here undisclosed. It's coming next month, and I will only announce on social media a week. I mean, no, I won't announce at all. You are the ones that you understood what it means to sing his finished work. Praise God. I must not give. Imagine we now want to do special program. We now go and rent, find money, rent, talk about Labito, sing for us, rent farmer, big engine, big instrument, spend money for some people that will come for how long?
2 hours.
And in your, no, it, I was, right, yeah, I didn't know if you remember the day Pastor Akin Labi taught us that thing. He said, let your regular service be the time you wear your best clothes. It didn't do something to me. That's don't plan best clothes till that special meeting, special day. Say, finally, we are going to have a big. This one, this is the. That is why me, I will do my best to ensure this our normal meetings are as comfortable or as okay, so that we can learn God's word. That is church.
Praise God.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
See, that is church.
Church.
Anybody that cannot sit down like this every day, hear God's word, I just want to come once in a blue moon when he hears that there's a epic Jacoban man of God in town. It's not useful for the work of the ministry. Such. Let me be fast. So don't be a. Write that down. I am not a special meeting believer. I am not. Don't deliberately yoke yourself in things that will starve you off your Christian virtues. Don't deliberately yoke yourself in things that will starve you off your Christian virtues. Amen, amen. And even from today, form an habit, if you can, as much as you can. After service, don't bounce out. Sit down. Talk to somebody beside you. Ask somebody beside you, do you understand the topic today? Check him. Is your note complete? I notice that you are a bit confused sometimes when Pastor was saying this. Do you understand? Can I explain to you? That spirit that thing that itches your bum, that in just about, amen, pow! Who are the deeper life background there? Deeper life background. What do we do after someone? Deeper life. We pray! Groaning. Guess what? Oh. But it's good. Like, service we end, at least I'm talking about those 90s. At least, I didn't know of now. 30 minutes. You actually see you call him bre. Rebro. How you know the rebro is the one that they use, the ushers will now say, sir, you need to lock the church here. but trust me, those are good days. These days, there's something you can't you leave your WhatsApp for 2 hours. I have to check. Bah! I've gone. That's a tool of rebellion. Just brought it out. Is it a gun? A believer is beside you. And like you see, before I close, it's not, don't say, but I am fine. No, church is giving and receiving. Help me. Help us. Help me. Help me in that. Church is what? Giving and receiving. If you are fine, give somebody. Give. Don't be selfish. Church is for giving and receiving. It's okay for you to be fine. But you don't know where happy is coming from. Pick up. Say, okay. How was your 2 week holiday? Okay, is there anything I need to format from your head? Format it again. Sorry. Praise God. So, like, from today, start practice it. Pray on what you have heard. If you just, I'm not saying pray 30, just pray. Have that attitude that I am here. Especially Sunday meetings, of course, like some of these evening meetings, it's already late. People need to go back home. Understandable. But as much as you can, show that of the abundance I have received, I want to bless. Amen, amen. Praise God. Then you encourage one another, encourage them to be better. Okay, look on this. Can I take it to your father? After you have explained, remind his father, Father Abraham, this is your baby. Okay, we see our issue in this area. I'm sure you relate. That's church. The pastor is not meant to do everything. Write that down. The pastor is not meant to do everything. I am vital. You are vital. People are expecting a pastor that will do everything. It's abacadabra. Okay, the day all of you are sick, of come. The day all of you don't have word, come. The day all of you are this, you come. The day all of you are bailers, you come. The day all of you are... What? No, I don't have such anointing. Amen. Right, Ram? Do you have such? You don't have. You don't share such too. Amen, amen.
So please, start, practice this. Let your mind be here, not out there. Let your mind be here. Let your mind be here.
It is self, self, S-E-L-F, that tells you to stay away because you are sick. Self, S-E-L-F, that tells you to stay away because you are sick. Okay, let me ask you this question. Okay, healing ministers. How many of you, of course, you all should be, how many of you have ministered healing to somebody and they got ill when you are, even when you are sick? You are sick and you minister, you lay down, anything happen? So, why should you be sick and you stay in the church? You stay at home? Praise God. So, you like, have some reverence, brother. Michael, please help us with the keyboard. Have some reverence. Love the gathering. Don't just gather, but love the gathering. Write that down. I must not just gather, I must love the gathering. The ridiculous one that we do before is I don't have offering. Therefore, I'm not coming to church. Hope you know, even if you say that in the assembly, you'll be very stupid. Very stupid. I'm sorry. If you say that in the assembly, you'll be very stupid. Because half of the service, they will remind you of offering. And you know, that was a norm before, right? Before, if you don't have any exchange, I beg you, they will be passing the thing. So you have to dance to the front. Some of us, you know what we just did? We squeeze the hand, empty hand, give it to God. But well, come to church. I'm sorry. Someone says it's hypocrisy. Well, I'm in church. You didn't come. I won't do it today. Because now I've understood that I must not teach myself to be doing, but also, or else the day there is money too. I was saying, it's money. I beg you, God, take it. Amen, amen. Go off offering, you stay off service. Because you are hungry. I don't have what to eat. Love the gathering. Don't just gather, love it. See, guys, it's an atmosphere where nothing is impossible. If we are all here. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, church is more. And have you observed that in this place, we do much of this, edify one another? That is a church. Church is not just where I come, I pray for myself. Church is more of where I come, I pray for somebody, and somebody prays for me. Church, write it down that way. Church is more of where I come, and somebody pray for me, and I too, I bless somebody. Church is more of that than where of everybody just stay in your corner, just pray. Church is more of that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So this is why we place priority on blessing one another. We teach one another. We agree together. We edify. So all this is not possible without availability. All this is not possible without availability. And lastly, this also goes to your attitude when you are late for church. Don't be casual. And that's what I love about everybody in training in this place. I've seen this one day till you fall. No, the alley will fall. What's this? He run. Don't be casual. A minute of absence in a corporate meeting could be the difference between life and death. Just write that down. I wrote this in my notes. A minute of absence in a corporate meeting could be the difference between life and death. So as much as you can, you don't make lateness an habit. Some people will still be late on Sunday. Sunday. Say, but they are praying. So, what is prayer? Who is prayer for? Prayer is for the angels, the pastors.
So you find a way, okay? You find a way. Find a way. Pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you. Plan your life around your church. Don't have a life before you plan a church. If you want to have a life before you plan a church, then you will just go and find a life. Then, if it's celestial and it's closer, what do you do? Really, jail. Plan a life around your church. Plan a life around those you have chosen to serve God together. Plan a life. Plan a life. Please just bow down here. Bow down your eyes. Let's pray. Come on, just pray. Bow down your eyes. Pray. Pray. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Thank you. Let's go stand, everybody. Thank you. Oh, Shadabala, giving us your spirit. Come on, pray, Plan a life around your church. Alama seke villa zentos teke villa zentos teke bala shinda. Ila zentola 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 semala mashinda mazinda mashinda. Ale brocha mala mazunto mala masemala brocha mala mazunto mala masanta mazunto. La mala mazunto mala rasenda mala kente mala zentola zanda bashinda. Ala bos teke bala teke tala mazunto ala zanda mala shinda mazunto mala. To the floor of the Holy Ghost. Please pray, keep praying. I play my role in the body. My role in the body. As I fulfill that which is given to me. I play my role in the body. My role in the body. As I fulfill that which is given to me. I defy. I am defied above thee. I exalt the body. As I supply that which is needed. Just pray for 5 more minutes. Pray. Master Balamazenta, Malamazanta, Malaranja, Malamazenta, Ebraja, Malamazanta, Malamazanta, Alamazanta, 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 Malamazanta. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, choir, come. Let's sing that song. See, you are vital. Say, I'm vital. Say, I'm vital. Say, in the move of the Holy Spirit, I am vital. That's the point. See yourself that way. That's why I'm begging, appealing to you today. See yourself as vital. See yourself as vital. What your absence has caused cannot be replaced. It cannot be. Somebody say, God can use anybody. Well, why not you? God cannot always use everybody. At times, you are just the best for the job. People have died because of lukewarmness. People have died because some other believers are not serious. Praise God. I play my role in the body.
Just lift your hands, just sing.
My role in the body, as I fulfill that which is given to me.
I play my role.
So today, that's what I'm talking about. Physically being present in the meeting. Physically. Physically. In contributing to the move of the Holy Ghost, men must be there. For from Genesis, we never saw the action of the Holy Ghost outside men. It's impossible. It's impossible. There is nothing God will do that men will not be the tool. Amen, amen. So, church is a place where we function as a servant. Not just as a church. Not just as a son of God. Church is a place where you function as a servant. It's a place where you now see yourself as a tool in the hand of God for God to use. Are you with me? You now see yourself as a tool. A tool. That's what I was saying. You're right. That's church. Praise God. Praise God. You now see yourself as not just a son of God, I'm redeemed. You now see yourself as a servant. The same way Christ was our servant in redemption. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, my physical presence is irreplaceable. That's the point. If you're not there, you're not there. It's irreplaceable. Let's take that song again. This is needed. I play my role.
I play my role in the body.
My
role in the body. As I fulfill that which is given to me.
I exalt. I exalt. Come on, I exalt. Come on, sing, yeah.
I